Linda. Real Chuchu is where you made your mistake. Real Chuchu is zero. Zero. One. Okay, found it on the hard disk where you put it on the right. Okay, go ahead and do it again. This is one of those things. We entered it wrong on the...
Now I've got it to a place because I have it on my hard disk.
Okay. Run it through.
What was it that was changed?
I don't know. Real Chuchu, you had something...
Okay, I'm going to push real choo-choo back in. Let's do it correctly this time.
22 flat. Just like it is up there. You got your beaten legs from. What's going on? You got zero for... .75. They scratch the other one, see what you get. Scratch Mr. F. Oh, okay.
That's the only chance.
Yep. Go. Six. That's not the way it came out. Anyway, there you go. That's not the way it came out before, but there's your designated place horse. There's your best early horse. Yeah, and there's your... the show horse. Okay, hit the next six again. There, once again, is your designated place horse, and there are your other two in the money horse. There's your trifecta on either screen. I'm sorry it took so long, folks. Okay, thank you, Spencer. Let's get the next one going here. We got to make up time here. That's the one that Shane has. Shane, come on up here and do your real quick one. After Shane does this, and I'm going to turn it over to Tom Brohammer and Jim Bradshaw. The reason being is that I'm going to let them run this thing with an iron hand from now on. Is they Schmidt says that the man who influenced him the most was Brohammer. Therefore, Brohammer represents the intellectual side of this organization. And Bradshaw says that I most influenced him. That represents the intuitive seat of the pants side of the... So with Bradshaw and Brohammer running it, you've got the best of all worlds. But Howard's going to do his now. Shane is. You got that on there?
Not yet. Give me a little time.
Well, the number's on there. Howard will write it, read it to you.
05, 05.
Here you go.
05, 09.
You have to put the disc in to make it work, don't you?
05, 09, 09,
H-O-E.
H-O. Was that O or 1? O or 2?
O. O. Hollywood. H-O. Hollywood, you know.
H-O-1?
You got the... Okay, this Howard's got several of them in here, but some of them are semi-lunatic. But this is how we hear so often, and we got two races like this run for Bruce Jurgens. We hear so often that you can't make money in small fields, especially right now at Hollywood Park. Everyone said, oh, I can't go to Hollywood Park. You can't make any money in small fields. The first week at Hollywood Park, there were 6 double-digit mutuals in fields of 5 or 6 or less. And, yeah. Okay. So let's have them. Yes, sir. I'll be right back there. I'll be the leg man. Donahue does this.
So does Oprah.
Does she? Well, she has more trouble. She's gained a little weight there, isn't she? Yes, sir. Better be good after all this exhausting.
My question is, I wanted you to explain how the early horse on the early screen was the winner in Thoromation,
Well, I'm looking for a trifecta. He wants to know how we picked the three horses. We picked the horses that came in 1, 2, 3 early, sustained, and the average best. And those were the three horses that came in 1, 2, 3. On this entry screen, when we had it before, it came out even better.
That wasn't the answer to the question. That was the answer to the question. I wanted you to explain how under the real choo-choo was the
first horse on the early screen.
Yeah.
And he
right.
But on the last screen, He was
well, on the sustained. He was, but on the EXDC. He was in the top three. We're looking for three horses.
So because he was in the top three,
we get it down to three horses. We want the best early. You want the best sustained, and you want the best average.
Because we're looking for the trifecta.
Right.
What if I'm just looking for the?
That was not this exercise. This exercise is to find the trifecta.
Okay.
next time we can find the winner. Okay, let's go over this race. Before you put it on the screen, turn up the light, somebody. Let's do exactly with Shane what you did with me. And remember, lights. Just asking. You got your answers here. Get the race out so you know what you did. Okay. Take it away, Howard. First horse.
Okay. Now here's a race where you don't have to worry about how many contenders you have. I mean, there's 5 horses. Oh, it's page 9 for this one.
Spencer, screw that.
Okay, everybody got that? All right, with a small field like this, I just throw in all the contenders, or all the horses, period. And I don't have to worry about taking out horses and how to sweat about who's not a contender, who is a contender, because there's only 5. Now, you can see the pace lines I picked here. And if you got any questions about why I picked certain pace lines, I can give you the rundown on that.
We're going to make every horse a contender since there are only five. Does everybody agree on that, or you want to narrow it down farther?
Yeah, the ones that are underlined are my pace lines that I picked. Now, I picked Individualist. That pace line, well, because it's the first, the last line, sloppy track, and a no good line. The next one, the fast track, but not as good a race. I've decided to go with the Santa Anita 6 furlong, same distance, similar track, and a 93 speed rating. But now, Gray Sloopy, who is the favorite, his last line was fine. Cardmania. Now, I went back 3. Oh, they're in different order here. Okay, let me have that one. Yep, it's different. Okay, Frost Free. Last line, fine. Even if it was a sloppy track, it was a good enough run and a plus.
Don't be easy on him now. Anybody got any objections? Just be as hard on him as you would be on me or anybody else. Yeah.
You don't normally take some of your pace lines from a sloppy track.
Yes.
Instead of when I first started doing it, I tried to get them all on a fast track. But does it make any difference to have some on a sloppy track and some on a fast track?
You'll get as many answers probably as there are people up there. Ask everybody. Our answer, or his answer, would be no.
It'd be the same then.
Well, he's looking at the daily variant, and he's looking at the general running style, and in Southern California, you're from Louisiana.
Right. You got to remember. We got a lot of sloppy tracks.
What would your answer be in Louisiana?
It would be no, because the horses that run on sloppy tracks there, a lot of times when it's fast, they don't.
Okay, we don't have that problem in Southern California. So consequently, what you're saying would be absolutely correct for your track, and what we're saying would probably be more correct for our track. So you have to know that, and it's good that you do, because that's why you're not just taking anybody's old answer and using it.
Shane, why did you not use, let's see. Yeah, the tandem of March 23rd, Frost Free, and Cardmania.
Why did I use that?
Why didn't you use the tandem?
At that time, I wasn't very good at the tandem thing. I didn't know all about the things about the tandem.
He's not as smart as you are. That's why he's
no,
not,
yeah.
That's why.
See,
he's not
I'm
a
simple kind of guy, you know what I mean?
He's just a student still.
Yeah.
I teach him one thing at a time.
I do what I do, when I do it.
I think it would come out better if you used a tandem, wouldn't it?
Probably it would.
You'd have got the winner easier with a tandem. Question? This way Donahue does. God, how'd that guy do this?
I just have a question on your pace line selection for Frost Free. Cardamania, you used the March 7th pace line. And I would have done the same thing for Frost Free. It's just a... Okay, I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, okay, you already answered that question. So we'll give you another one.
My question is, if you're going to use Frost Free, why would you even consider Individualists, where they're coming out of a tandem race, if you will? Would you consider Individualists going off form just by observation, or... Don't pay attention to that now and just run through the program.
Yeah, that's basically it, because there's only 5 horses here.
Okay.
So I decided, well, why not? Throw them all in. I usually put up to 6 contenders in a 12-horse field, because the computer I put it in after I pick my pace lines, it'll handle 6 for me, and then I can filter it out from there. Like with the large field, I use a different program for contenders, and we'll get to that part later.
A lot of what we're doing here in this race especially is to show you that you can make a lot of tactical errors. You don't have to be real experienced and real bright, and so you can still get winners. So that's why we're having Shane do this race as opposed to some...
take your test.
Huh?
I don't care if your dad per se, I wasn't right.
Oh. No, what I mean is, he's not as sophisticated a handicapper as you. A lot of these things you're asking him, he hasn't encountered yet. What we're trying to show you is that a newcomer who just blindly puts these horses in can get some good results, too, without knowing some of the subtle things. But the fact that you know the subtle things to ask him is rewarding enough to us that you have advanced to that point. Take care of the kid.
Okay, now. So we move on to Card Mania? Okay. Now, I went back to that line because this, I felt, was a good horse, and I wanted to give him no slop track. I went for the third line back. It was a good race. He moved up. He had a 96 speed rating, and that was the best pace line, in my opinion, to use, so I did. There's no doubt about that one, right?
Got one more to put in?
Yeah, Robin Dancer. Went back a ways for that one. Well, it was the closest I could get to a decent line for him in a local, that was Bay Meadows line. And I don't know how to adjust these, foreign tracks, so I'm strictly Southern California boy, so I don't adjust those too much. And we can go ahead and run that.
Yeah, just put in the contenders. Yes, sir. Very good point. The pace line selection, what Howard does is, you can tell him, he runs a lot of pace lines through. When they're similar, he takes the one he likes. Yeah, that's what he does.
I use it because it looms up at me also, That just happens sometimes. But if I like the line, I'll throw it in. If there's no reason, I can't. Yeah, but I like this one the best. Just look nice,
I'm exhausted. Speak up loud.
Yeah, I don't know Keeneland. Yeah, pretty much that's it. See, I try to find as many similarities in conditions and track and distance as I can, and that's how I basically use my last decisions on that. And of course, it has to be a plus or a plus within a zero pace line.
Just a minute, let me get your question. Fruzy?
Why didn't you use the same line on Frost Free since they were in the same race?
I didn't go past the first line because it looked good. There was no reason not to use it, really. I know it was a slop line, but I pick them as they come.
84 on a 16 variant. Don't be looking at the slop. Look at 84 on a 16 variant, folks.
Question.
On Card Mania, the pace line you picked is awfully fast, and probably the horse would have beat most any other horse using that pace line. It has a variant that's extremely low, so therefore the surface was extremely fast. You probably could have got the same results taking the one above it, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very definitely. I think you ran it through. You're dealing here in a handicap situation, folks, and remember that these horses, if they should be ready, it's a handicap race, they should all be taken off of a line that will reward them a little bit. They should all see what they can do at their relative best. But this is the kind of race that usually doesn't pay a lot of money. Most people think I don't take those handicap races with just four or five horses in the field because the favorite always wins. Well, it doesn't. Let's take a look at the entry screen now. What you should do is take and put some of those other lines that you thought about and run through your computer and see how the race comes out using a multiplicity of lines. Those are the ones you used. Here you go.
Those are the lines you used. All five horses got a shot. Next screen. Next screen. Okay, you got a good mix of horses in there. Next screen. You used the two adjustment, didn't you?
If it said two, I probably did. Did it not? Try it both ways.
Two, it said two.
Do you want six or nine?
Go with nine. Okay, there's card. On sustain, hit six again, see what it comes out early. Card and Robin and Frost. Now hit nine. And Card sweeps the field.
He didn't run that fast at the track, though, I'll tell you that.
We'll slow him down. On Spencer's screen, you slow him down. Always slow him down, Spencer. I have mine slowed down at home. I can take hours to watch a race. She keeps on winning it. Hit it again. See if you can win three times in a row. Card.
Do you like that move?
That's a big move. All right. Now, Tom Brohammer, relative to your question, Dr. Tom Brohammer called me in the back room and said, did somebody question Real winning that race? He said, have him look at the pace it ran against. It ran against the fastest early pace in the race. There's still something wrong with the entry there because Real comes out first on the EXDC screen if you enter them all right. But somehow there was a goof there, but we didn't want to delay the thing. But Brohammer says, how could anybody, meaning you, Dr. It's all right. Don't defend yourself. Go over and defend yourself. Brohammer said, how can...
Wait a minute.
There he comes. All right.
Lest you think I'm arrogant, that is not the way I said that. I just said that you've got to recognize that Real Chuchu had an enormous pace advantage in there, so it can't be a surprise.
I didn't say, how can anybody question me?
I heard a little bit.
Now you see why Brohammer would have had tea with General Howe?
My question, I don't think you understood the question. I knew that the horse was the only early horse in the race. And I knew that it was running early. I didn't know that on the screen that I would find it as the first early horse in the first section.
You did.
I didn't know that. I was trying to bring up the point that maybe somebody else is as stupid as I am and did not understand.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Nobody wants to claim that now. Thanks. when you get your other manual, you'll see the correct readout. I still don't know what happened to this. Because we've done this race several times and it never came out that way. Yes?
Okay.
He wants to see it again. What do you want? You want? Is there a steward's inquiry here or something?
This is the first screen. This is the second screen.
So the winner is in the top two and top three on this screen, top two on the other. They're about. Who finished second, Shane? Who finished second?
You want the answer to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grace Loopy came in second.
So hit the other six. Hit the other six. You don't get the place horse. The place horse has only one distinction, so you only get the winner in this race. All right, thank you for that one. Anybody any questions on the? We'll now turn it over to Tom And Jimmy. The rest of the race doers, including himself. Let me address a problem which came to my attention here. It's a slight degree of disturbing. Do you remember yesterday when we started this session, we said that we were going to the exercise we were going to conduct this morning was to do races together, and the primary reason for doing those races together was to get together on contenders and pace lines, to discuss it, argue it, have a lot of feedback, which we've had so far, and the arguments have been good, the reasoning has been good. But one gentleman came up to me and he was focusing in an area which we asked you please not focus on. I'm still using phase something or other, and that program, I don't have that program. How can I possibly know what you guys are doing? Folks, what we're doing, if anybody shares that man's concern, what we're doing is a group session in picking contenders, pace lines, seeing those pace lines entered, and seeing how any program will project those horses. This is merely a visual aid. You don't have to have this program. The program is only the last exercise. Don't feel that you've been left out just because you don't own the program they're showing. It's the getting them into the computer is what counts. And discussing it and seeing other people's points of view, that's what's more important than what you see on the screen. So don't feel left out if you happen to have a program other than the one you see demonstrated, please. Okay, Glenn Connolly's our next race scorer, and Tom Brohammer, along with Jim Bradshaw, will be Mr. Interlocutor.
I reverse engineered Donnie.
All right, this time I get to go around as Oprah Winfrey or Phil Donahue. And before we get started, I want to go on with the Howard's point about the programs that we're putting on the board. The reason we've chosen the ones that you're seeing, even though you don't have those, is they're pretty descriptive. You have the horses running across the screen and you're doing that. But that is not the issue at all. It's getting the right horses and the right pace lines into those programs first. Because the one you just saw here and the one you'll see on mine in a little while would have been produced with any program as long as you understand the race itself. And so don't be, like Howard said, don't be concerned about the program that's coming up there. The nice thing about some of these is that you get to see what we've been talking about. Back to Shane's race for just a minute. Several ways to get at that race. And I happen to agree with those of you that said, why not take that Zuron handicap for both those horses? It's not going to change the results, though. And one of the reasons it's not going to change the results, and I'll just share this with you, buy it or don't buy it. It's up to you. I happened to play that race also, and I also got the same results. But the reason I played that race was for a little different reason. At this time of year, you will find that a number of the horses that have been cranked up and shipped around the country in the spring are a little bit off form when they return to their home grounds. In the case of Grace Loopy, and I tell you Grace Loopy is better than anyone in that field by several lengths, but after being shipped to Oaklawn Park, winning that stakes there, coming back, he'll be the same as a lot of your Triple Crown candidates and a lot of the other horses that have been shipped around for these big races that were absolutely at the peak of their game. They're a little off it when they come back, and they're beatable. And in the case of Grace Loopy, all I wanted to do was beat Grace Loopy. It is the reason I handicapped that race, and I came against him with Card Mania, and I came against him with Frost Free. But that's the only reason for that, and I'm sharing that with you because for those of you in Southern California, you had a great example of that, and that's the first one of many in Southern California. Well, that's actually the second. Grace Loopy was the first. Last weekend, for those of you that were familiar with our racing, there was the Railbird Stakes at Southern California. And my play, I have several private clients that I handicap for, and my whole thrust in that race was to play against Race the Wild Wind and against Magical Maiden, who'd been shipped around for some of these big races and had competed at the top of their game in the spring. And there was a horse called She's Tops in there who was coming to her best race. And I'll do that now until a lot of these horses begin to recover their form. And you'll see it every year that the Breeders, Robin Dancer is a good example. You saw him cranked up for the Breeders' Cup. He was eased in his last race now after this one. Those horses come down, and some of them come down hard. And it's good to bet against them because the prices are so small that you're in profitable territory immediately by betting against them. So Sheen is absolutely right in the choice of that race, and you will come to Cardmania and Frost Free as long as you recognize that Gray Sloopy may not be at his very best in the race. For what it's worth. All right, Mr. Connolly's going to take over, and then I'll just ask anything. I'll move around with the microphone, and we'll get this one going.
Yeah, just a little bit. We'll give you a little preliminary introduction. When I first received Theramation...
Yeah, I got to get close.
When I first started working with Theramation, and again, the comments about which program you're using are totally relevant. I'm going to be focusing on contender selection and pace line selection. It's just that I've been using the Theramation combination disc to do my handicapping. Now, one approach which is valid when you're handicapping a race is to take a look at the top consensus pick. This can be used as your benchmark in a race. And then what I did was to enter three or four pace lines for this top consensus pick. He becomes the horse you have to beat. I'd narrow it down to the most desirable pace line for that horse. And then usually I'd do the same thing for the second and third consensus picks. Again, narrowing it down to the best line in the top two or three for each of these three horses. So I'd be looking at a screen in which there were three pace lines, and now the task is, in analyzing the race, to determine if there's any horse in the race who can beat these horses. In the process of selecting pace lines in an attempt to beat them, I began playing a little game, and that game was noting that it was a worthwhile exercise to try to determine which pace line was preferred by the program. And in previous seminars, I've mentioned that if you were to enter three or four pace lines for a horse because there was some question in your mind due to distance or variant or whatever, if there was a question which was the appropriate line to use, I suggested that you enter the in the order in which you feel your program will prefer them. Well, that's a pretty subjective thing. After New Orleans, someone came up to me and said, you know, that's a worthwhile exercise, but wouldn't it be nice if you could quantitatively identify which pace line would be preferred, in this case, by Theramation? Now, this is the sort of an exercise that you could employ with any program, so don't lose sight of this. We're still really talking general principles, although we're displaying them to you by virtue of the Theramation program. Okay, so what we're going to do is to take a look at three horses. These are all contrived pace lines to illustrate a point that indeed it is possible to estimate which pace line would look the best in the Theramation program. Before we do it, however, I want to remind all of you that Howard and Jimmy have mentioned in previous discussions that our advanced programs reflect the essence of the matchup. The matchup being a most important factor in evaluating horse races. We talked about the pace of the race and the pace of the horse, and I'm sure that most of you in your readings and in attending seminars have heard Jimmy say that the first thing to do is to identify the horse who has run the best against the fastest pace of the race. He is your key horse, because he's the horse you got to beat. Now, we'll take a look at Wes Spencer.
Right here. White.
Okay, here's the input screen. Here's the input screen for three horses. The important thing to note initially... Huh? Can you hear in the back? Okay. The first thing to note are horses BBB and CCC. We have that problem where the final doesn't show. Can you move it over this way, Spencer, because that last column is more important than the designation. Okay. Okay, so we have 12... Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All of the screens that you see here will be in the main manual. Okay, what I want to direct your attention to are the bottom two lines. Notice that we have a final time of 111 with zero beaten length, so the horse won the race in 111. For the next horse, he ran against a final pace of the race of 110, beaten five lengths. In most classical linear thinking, wouldn't you expect those two horses to be tied, both 111s? Is that the way that Thurimation handles them? Well, one of my first observations was that Thurimation always preferred the race which had the faster pace of the race, which to me pretty conclusively demonstrated that the principles of the matchup had indeed been incorporated into the program. Now, the next thing that I wanted to do was to take two of these races and see if I could create a dead heat between them. And the two horses that I want to direct your attention to are the top two lines. Here we have a case in which our horse ran in 110 flat, 12 lengths off, and the second line again was that winner at 111. Now let's go to the next screen, Spencer, and see how Thurimation treated. We want to go to Thurimation and run the horses across the screen. Automatic adjustment, right. Okay, notice that CCC won this race. CCC was the horse that had a final pace of the race of 110, beaten five lengths. The one above it, BBB, was the horse that ran a final pace of the race of 111 and won that race. Classical linear thinking would have projected those two horses into a dead heat. Does Thurimation do so? No, it does not. Which of the two horses does Thurimation prefer? It prefers the horse who ran the best against the faster pace of the race. Has the matchup concept been incorporated into Thurimation? You bet your life, and it's fantastic. Okay, now, let's direct our attention to the top two horses again for a moment. What I tried to do was to come up with the number of beaten lengths that would create this dead heat. The reason I was doing that was to try to determine what the weighting was for the beaten lengths at the end of the race. The top line had a final pace of the race of 110, and the beaten lengths that are in the manual that you'll get are 12. 12.5 would have been more precise, but as we say, close enough for government work. Okay, so we've created the dead heat, and the point here is that it took 12 and a half beaten lengths to compensate for that 1 second difference in the final pace of the race. If we take the ratio of 12 to 5, we see that if we use 40% of the beaten lengths at the final, we're able to create we'll then be able to create a rating which would be equal for the two races. The point is this. On the top line, we have a 110 pace of the race, 12 beaten lengths. 40% of 12 is approximately 5. 110 plus 5 gives us a 111. For the second line, a 111 pace of the race, 0 beaten lengths, that's 111. So we're able to look at the racing form data and to estimate that a dead heat will very closely occur looking at those two pace lines. Or another way of putting it is, if we have those two pace lines staring us in the face, which would be the better one to use? We can come up with a quantitative rating that tells you that, as far as thermation is concerned, they'll be essentially equal. We had some questions earlier about which pace line to use. Some of the pace lines, I think there was a 117 and another was a 114.2. Well, it's pretty easy to see that the 114.2 would be preferred as far as the program is concerned. Okay, enough of this. What we'll try to do now is to utilize this rating scheme to evaluate pace lines once we've selected our contenders. And while I'm discussing the contender selection procedure, Spencer, why don't you load the other program? Any questions about this? The purpose is to come up with a rating scheme to try to predict the order in which the program will prefer the pace line. Yes?
There's a question over here, Glenn.
Well, I must have missed something. I'm trying to figure out why it would be necessary for you to get a dead heat between A and B.
It isn't necessary to get the dead heat. What I was trying to do was to determine the mathematical relationship to indicate what the appropriate weighting of final beaten lengths were to create this rating system. Does that answer it? Okay.
It's another question.
Will there be any effect on if there be more contenders to put in to the system?
That's a good question. The point should be made that in the advanced programs, the mix and match of...
Repeat the question first.
Okay. The question was essentially, does the makeup of the race affect these ratings? Is that essentially it? Yeah, if you put more contenders in, no, it won't affect the ratings. However, we do have to recognize that the program will change the numerical values because the numbers are interrelated as a function of the mix of competitors in the race. What I'm trying to do is to use a linear computation procedure to estimate a non-linear result that the program gives you. And it's only an approximation. One point that I want to make to you is that if you have a horse with a very good third fraction, the thermation program will give him a rating that very often will exceed the rating of a horse with a higher number. However, the principal thing that we're trying to do is to identify the contenders and get the proper pace lines into the computer, and whether they come up 1-2 or 2-1,